sit down. Let me get my little magic paper out so I don't mess up any of these names because this is a cast. All right, first up, playing Marlin, returning as Marlin, Mr. Albert Brooks. Voicing Nemo, Hayden Rollins.
Yeah.
Playing Charlie, Eugene Levy. As Destiny, Caitlin Olsen. And Destiny's pal, Bailey, played by Ty Burrell.
There's no suspense to the introductions. You can just see them right there.
This man only has two arms, not seven, in the movie he does. Hank, Ed O'Neill. And last, but certainly not least, oh, I think I'm forgetting her name for some, I'm sorry. Playing Dory Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah. The cast of Finding Dory, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go. We're going right in, right over here, sir, in the black.
Hi there. Now, this one's for Ellen. Ellen, either by your nature or as I'm finding out through the passage of time, have you battled forgetfulness in any form? And if so, how have you kind of tried to solve that in the clever ways like Dory does?
Well, I take ginkgo biloba whenever I remember. I don't understand how they tell you to take medicine to remember things because you wouldn't remember to take the medicine. You know what I'm saying? I do have that problem with memory, and not as bad as she does. But I don't try to do anything about it because it's just who I am, and I just try to live in the moment and hold on to these few moments that I have.
Yes, right.
Yes, Ed, big fan. I want to ask you, Ed, why do you think Hank doesn't like living in the ocean? Because I've been to Cleveland, and it's just okay.
You live in Cleveland? What did he say?
He's been to Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, you've been to Cleveland. Well, there's a nice Lake Erie there, right? I don't know why he does that. Well, he had a bad experience in the ocean. Or was it open ocean?
In the ocean.
In the ocean, he had a bad experience. We're guessing that he had something bit off one of his tentacles in the ocean. And that's all I can do for you.
We find out why Little Hank got his COVID.
Yeah.
Once an octopus. And that's it.
And everybody go to Cleveland. Cleveland's a nice city. Right over here.
Hi, I'm James from Brazil. I want to ask Alan and the guys from Mother Family. There's a campaign in the internet, give Elsa a girlfriend, give Captain America a boyfriend. This movie is a lot of about diversity. What do you think? Do you stand for these campaigns? What do you think of that?
We're having a hard time hearing the questions.
Yeah.
I don't really, it's something about some gay people. that's what I gather from the question. But it's very mumbly, the sound is very, it's very hard to hear you. But about the rumor that there is a gay couple in the movie.
Also about the campaign, give Elsa from Frozen a girlfriend.
We can just make statements.
Yeah. So we're just going to make up answers to questions. So Elsa in Frozen is gay? Is that what you're saying? You heard it here. If that's the question about if there is a gay couple in the movie, I don't know that there is, and I didn't know anything about it until I heard this rumor, and then when I watched the premiere last night, I was looking for that particular scene, and it appears that there are two women. One woman has a very bad short haircut, which I find very offensive, that's... If that's the definition of a gay woman, then how dare you? Just because someone has a short, bad haircut doesn't mean she's gay. Just has a bad hairdresser. But so I don't know that that's the case. But I think if you see the movie several times, which I recommend, if you see it four or five times, there are some gay fish in the background that you'll notice. A lot of them look very gay to me, and it's not obvious until you see it a few times.
Following up on that just a little bit, when a conversation does begin over a presumption over two women we see in a very light couple second clip, is that a good thing that people are talking about this and that it's coming up, whether it's there or not?
I personally think it's a great thing. I think everything that we see in the media, whether it's television or film or anything you see, should represent everything that's happening in the world. I think everybody that is in the world should be seen and represented. So yes, it's a great conversation. And whether it's, if they intended it to be a woman with bad short haircut being gay or not, I think it's a great thing.
Yes, very good.
Actually, this could be for any one of you to answer, but I wanted to know how you tapped into your inner fish.
I lost 75 pounds for this role. 100,000 pounds. Yeah, it's funny. I actually kind of overthought preparing for this a little bit. Like, I came in with a voice, because he's sort of the character looked sort of congested to me, and so I kind of came over like a whale with a cold, and Andrew very, very, very politely was like, that's great, now let's do the whole film in your voice.
I got Caden in a small tank for 6 months. But that's going to come out in a lawsuit, so I can't talk about it right now.
Yeah, but Hayden, let's ask you too. I mean, this is you're taking over Nemo. This is a classic character. You know, were you a Finding Nemo fan? Did you watch Finding Nemo and then, you know, audition for this? How did you land this role?
I was a big Finding Nemo fan even before Finding Dory came out, and even before I knew that I was gonna be in Finding Dory. So I just really loved the role of Nemo, and I never thought that I would be able to actually play him, and but I was sort of a little bit nervous at first because he's already a character, and I was taking over this character that everybody loves, and I wanted to do Nemo justice.
And you did, and it shows when you love a character that much, it just comes out in your voice. And Albert, you know, returning as Marlin, was this your first big screen reprisal of a role for you?
You mean, is this the first sequel I've ever been in?
Yes.
This is my first sequel that I remember, yeah.
And what did you
No, actually, I they made The In-Laws, which was probably not a good idea.
Yes. And did you adjust? Like, how did you kind of pick up this role all these years later? And then this is also for Ellen, too. Is that difficult to do, to kind of just find these characters again?
You create a character, and as long as your voice is the same and your health is the same, you're back into it. It really, it's happened so quickly, it's sort of scary. It's like in 30 seconds, no time is passed.
Yeah, I can have to see the whole time.
Yeah.
Coming over here.
Over to you, Ellen.
That was Ellen.
Yeah.
This is for Ellen. I am David from Israel. Big fan of your show. You should hear yourself dubbed in Hebrew. That's a kid.
I would love to.
I was at D23 where you showed a clip of you, like, an unofficial campaign to do a sequel. Like, why does every other Pixar film get a sequel? And then when we talked with Andrew, he said, oh, it came as a surprise. Even the name of the movie, of Finding Dory, was a surprise for Ellen. Why was that?
Exactly. Why was that? Good question. I just want to state, obviously, in your reinforcing this, I am responsible for every penny that this film makes, because this film would not happen had I not campaigned as hard as I campaigned. Thank God I had a talk show to talk about it. I had a platform. It just seemed like it was obvious. I mean, the film was an iconic film. It won an Academy Award. It was great. I was a small part of it. I wasn't campaigning to have a sequel for Dory. I was just campaigning for a sequel to a great movie. And then when it didn't happen for the first, oh, 5 or 6 years, I decided to just make a joke of it. It just seemed like it was never going to happen, so I would just continue to joke about it. And then the joke became a reality, and then it became about Dory's journey. So, again, I'm responsible for every single thing that happens from now on.
I hope that doesn't happen with Trump. Yeah.
I'm not making jokes about him.
Yes,
so
we got it.
Dory, and which ones would you like to have from her?
Which trait?
That she has and you would like to have?
I would love to have every trait of Dory's. I try to have as many traits as she has as far as optimism and perseverance and non-judgment and not having any resentment or holding on to anger or she doesn't feel like a victim. I think that's why she's such a lovable character that Andrew created, because she really is, she just thinks everything is possible. And she never for a second thinks that anything's wrong with anybody else or herself, or she just keeps swimming. And I think that's a great thing so I'd like to have all of those traits.
Yeah. Hi, Jenny from Australia. Ellen, Andrew described Dory as a tragic figure in the first movie, that he felt bad that he hadn't noticed how unresolved and awful it was that he left that character hanging for so long. I wonder, what was your thoughts at the time when you were Dory in the first movie? And did you feel that there was a lot more of her story? And did you wonder, you know, what had happened to her?
No, I really didn't. And had I thought about it and done actually what Andrew did, is to think about where did she come from, who is her family, I would have called him sooner and said, here's the sequel, here's the idea. I wouldn't have had to wait so long. I think that when you really think about it, I actually don't think it is tragic. I think that you can look at it that way, but as you see in the film now, what appears to be a disability is, you know, her strength, and it turns into what would Dory do. So maybe what appears to be a disability is actually something that everybody else can look at in another way and say, actually, that's a different way of thinking, and it's a good way of thinking. So I love that message in it, that something that seems to be a handicap is something you can use as a strength.
Hi, my question, whatever doing is, my question is for Ellen. First of all, I just have to say to everybody, outstanding film. I laughed, and near the end, I almost cried. You know, it was such a great film, and so emotional. And, yeah, I mean, here I am.
Just say you cried, it's okay.
Yeah.
You all
cried,
you can say you cried.
Yeah, 46-year-old white guy, grew up in cold country, and then in Philadelphia, and I almost cried at a cartoon movie. But that shows the power of this movie, I think, and of your character. I mean, even when I saw the trailer about 20 times today, and just keep swimming, and I tear up in the So, what did you put into that, and how did you come up with that slogan, and how to make Dory universal? I guess, you know, everybody's talking about the 1 second, whatever, but really, the movie is so universal about Just Keep Swimming, if you want to.
Well, the Just Keep Swimming came from Andrew, who wrote it, and that was him. As far as I think it's so much more than a cartoon movie, and I think I think we're all so proud of this. I mean, it's much more complex and layered than any of us thought it would be. It's much more complex and layered than Nemo, and Nemo is a great movie, but there's so many layers to this, and it is a very personal story for Dory, and it's a very it is emotional. So it was very easy for me to cry. It was, you know, it was like I couldn't read the lines and pretend to sniffle and pretend to get emotional. It was emotional. It was really sad, everything that Dory was going through and feeling. And so these are all human feelings. They're all the same feelings we all have. And it does show the power of these animators. They make it so beautiful and so realistic, and the characters they create are so complex that you do get emotionally, and you do cry at a fish, and we all cried. Like, it really is a beautiful story. So it was fun and challenging to get that emotion with just a voice and no other physical, you know, you can't get a body language or anything attached to that. But I don't know, I'm just, I think it's credit to the writing as well.
Caitlin and Ty, do you guys know a lot more about whales now? Do you do a lot of research when you're playing these characters? Are you dropping whale fun facts at parties now?
Oh, all the time. I can't.
You always used to do that.
Yeah, I've always been a whale talker. No, I mean, I did a fair amount of research. You know, I love that they're a whale shark is the largest fish and that they have no teeth, and so you can swim with them, and that's pretty cool. But that was about the extent of what I did. Just gave me a license to be like, oh, she's a nice whale. You know what I mean? What was your beluga?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was saying before. I think I sort of overthought it and then realized that I should just work on the actual text.
Feelings and text.
Yeah, yeah.
Right here, yes. Right over there.
Get from up and picks up. Congratulations to all you guys. This is one for Ellen. You've helped shape Dory's personality from the very beginning of Finding Nemo. Did you have a particular connection with Dory's desire for belonging and finding a family? Actually, this goes out to all the cast. You felt you had a connection.
Well, I think everybody is searching for their home, whatever that is. I think home is different for everybody, but you know, I understand what a sense of belonging is. I understand when you want to say, why am I who I am? Where did I come from? And you know, how did I end up where I am? So. Yeah, I can relate to that. I think everybody can.
Yes, right?
Yes.
Marlin and Dory have two very different approaches to problem solving. One is very analytical. One is kind of taking what you got and going with it. So for each of you and for anybody else who might want to answer, how do you deal with problems? Do you analyze them and come up with a solution, or do you just kind of go with looking around and figuring out what's going to happen?
Okay, I'll give you a real answer. Because thank God my memory is great. But as you get older, you do forget little things, and I have come up now with a new philosophy of life. And that if something is bothering me, I ask myself to check back in 30 minutes. And if it's still bothering me, I deal with it. But a lot of it I don't remember. So. It's a great thing. I just like, I'll check in at 2. And the things that were bothering me at 1:30 are not necessarily bothering me at 2. So that's my new philosophy. As a young person, I worried all the time. And, you know, what did it get me? Nothing. Well, not nothing. It got me. I'm still here.
And my answer is both. I do both. I mean, it just depends on the situation. I do, being a comedian, I think that I analyze, I look around, I kind of observe and analyze all kinds of things. I try to not do anything irresponsible, but I also do like to be spontaneous and just sometimes take chances.
Yeah, you know, the nature of what Ellen and I have done for years and years is dissecting. So, you know, I'm a writer, and you can't really do very well at it if you're not willing to go to places that you wouldn't normally go. And those places are always close to your places. So, you know, if you're going to write a comedy about obsession, you have to deal with obsession that may be in yourself. So, you know, if you want to be a good writer, you gotta be at least thoughtful. But there's dumb stuff you don't have to worry about. And that, I think, when you get older, you can figure out, I don't have to worry about the tires today. You know? I can worry about my heart, but not the tires.
If I could just come to Mr. Eugene Lilly for a minute, sir. Yes, he is here. If I could say, you know, you play such a great movie, Dad. You're always comfortable and relatable. Like, every time you're a dad in a movie, I want to come move in at your house. What is your secret?
It's called acting. I don't know. You're dealing with, I think the greatest storylines, as evident in this
movies is the greatest storylines really have to do with family, and because that's the one thing that is the most important thing in all our lives, or should be anyway. So anytime you're dealing in a familial kind of situation, a dad and a child, or, you know, those are the stories that kind of resonate with me, because they're about something absolutely tangible and real. And those are the storylines that that you can kind of really have fun with and really get behind and totally kind of pour yourself into, you know?
You did a great job.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes.
And if I can move in, I don't know if you have a room for it that you asked.
What is that noise? It's anytime.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Fantastic job on the film. Dory's very much about going with the flow and just keep swimming. I'm wondering, for each of you, are you more of a go-with-the-flow type person, or are you more of a planner, if you'd like to just go down the line?
I've never had a flow. So I don't know. I'm not a go-with-the-flow person. I would be a planner.
Yeah, I guess I'm sort of a planner, too.
I like to think of myself as a go-with-the-flow person, but I'm not. So I think I would put myself in the planner category.
I'm definitely a planner, and since I had kids, I turned into an anxiety-ridden, control-freak planner. So the past 2 years of my life have been very much me consciously trying very hard to go with the flow and let it happen, and I got this, I got all these mantras I'll share with you guys. I'm trying very hard to be more of a go with the flow person.
I don't think I'm a planner or a go with the flow person, which makes me a worried person without a plan. Yeah. That is not what you want. That is not what you want.
Give me anxiety.
I don't plan. I don't really go with the flow either. I'm mostly confused. I just sort of put one foot in front of it, which is sort of like keep swimming, right? I just sort of, you know, I'm up in the morning and oh, here I am. And then I move around.
Very, very, very focused.
I'm glad you didn't go moment by moment of your day.
I stopped.
Yeah, I know. I knew where that was going too. I'm pretty much a planner.
By the way, I think there may not be such a thing as a flow. I think if you don't plan, you're flowed right out the door.
Giovanna Grassi, Italy for Ellen. What did you learn about the mysterious universe of the fish, studying your role, watching the fish in the aquarium?
I didn't really stare at any fish in the aquarium for long. I mean, I've seen them. I learned they need to be in water all the time. That's important. The honest answer is I didn't really do any research, but the real honest answer is I really care about, and I always have cared about, nature and our planet and the environment, and I think it's important to protect our oceans and our fishes in the oceans and the coral reefs and everything, because it's a beautiful world that we know very little about, and I think there's probably all kinds of answers and all kinds of cures and all kinds of things that we can learn. So I think it's really important to protect our oceans.
Yes. Father's Day is coming up, but at the same time, I think this is directed toward Ellen and Eugene. I wish Diane was here too, but. Did you guys record that scene together when you finally met your parents? Because I think that was such an emotional authentic moment that it's kind of hard to record that separately and get that emotion across. But did you guys record together for that?
Wasn't that hard, was it?
You just cry, and you just, you know, and then put the fish together in animation. No, I was alone for that reunion. and it was a beautiful thing to read. So it really wasn't, as I said earlier, when you have beautiful writing and you, and it was sad, it touched me, and I could imagine what it was going to be like. So it was, and it was very emotional for me to record that day. But how was it for you?
Well, it's true, on the first reading of the script, on the first time I read it, I welled up a couple of times reading the script. It was beautifully written. And again, it's not the easiest thing to do scenes like that when you're not working with the other people, so you're really relying on your director, you know, to make sure he's getting what he wants, and you're giving him what he wants. But again, I think it's in the writing and just doing what you're supposed to be doing. I think, you know, it would be nice if we were able to do an animated feature where everybody's in the same room doing it together. But it would probably take 5 times longer, I think.
A bit more than that, I think.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
No. Six times longer?
No, I mean,
did you guys work together? Did you connect or meet?
Because he was working on Special Child Hours, and I was asleep during the show.
I was actually, my buddy asked me on the car ride over, you know, Dory, young Dory, the voice. Was that a separate person, or did they alter your voice?
They went back in time when I was a child, and somehow I said all those words. They found the tape when I was at Christmas. Yeah, my mother sent tapes of me as a young child sounding like Dory. No, that was a precious little girl that was behind me in the movie theater that felt a special connection with me, because it was so adorable that I was like, you're me. She's precious. No, that was a cute little girl that I don't want to reveal her identity unless somebody wants to.
There'll be an Amber Alert later.
Did you meet her though? Did you meet her?
Did I what?
Did you meet her?
Yes, I met her last night. She was sitting behind me for the premiere. She's adorable.
Hi, Laura Lee from London. I have a question for Bailey and Destiny. It was such a fantastic duo in this film. Really, really enjoyed your part. And I just wanted to know, after, when you watched the final film, having worked together and how the two characters come together, where would you place that relationship on a scale from, like, friends in a playground to old married couple?
I just missed the last part. Where would you want?
Where would you want to get married to?
Oh, right here.
I think it was a, sort of a brother-sister relationship, from married couple to friends.
Oh,
couple.
I see.
Yeah. I got like a brother-sister vibe. Like, they really are very close, but they annoy the hell out of each other. Or the heck out of each other.
I think so, too. I feel like there's sort of a theme in the movie, but also in Toy Story, that, you know, she can't see, and Bailey, his radar is all messed up, and Dory can't remember, but somehow friendship can make you complete. I feel like their relationship in the Institute was sort of about that, was them sort of trying to take care of each other.
If you don't have a family, you can create your own family kind of thing.
And that we can all get along, no matter that we're all different species and look different and have different traits, that we should all get along.
This question goes out to Ed and also to Ellen. Earlier, Andrew said that Hank is to this film what Dory was to Finding Nemo. Now, does that mean that we will see a subsequent movie now with Hank? And if so, will you be championing the cause on Ellen's show?
We were just talking about that.
I said that on our way out. I said, I bet there's going to be a sequel. We have to find out A baby Hank? Like that? Some angry, grumpy baby?
Where he lost his...
Yeah. So yes, if Andrew's paying attention, that yes, there will be a campaign for that.
My name is Victoria. This is a message for two things. This is a message first for Ellen. I told my sister yesterday that I was going to come to this press conference, and my sisters told me to tell you that she's in love with you. But she's straight, so she is in love with you. She told me.
I've made it number four.
Another thing is that Dory looks much like you. Were your features taken, from the directors to make her look like you?
Yeah, I know someone said that it does look like me. I don't see it personally, but they record as I'm talking. They're filming me the entire time to get my facial expressions and what I'm doing. So that's how they come up with the look of the fish. But I don't see it, but okay. And hello, your sister.
Hi, Chris Lee from The Movie Chick. Kind of for everyone. Everyone's characters are so amazing, and then there's also these amazing themes in the movie, whether it be friendship or getting over your disabilities or working with friends to get over them. For all of you, what was either the favorite thing that you loved about your character or your favorite theme in the movie?
T-shirts
coming out.
What's that?
When the What Would Dory Do t-shirts coming out?
As soon as I start making them right when we leave.
What do you think, Katie?
I would say, and this is kind of a personal thing because I have two little boys, and like all kids, they get really frustrated when they don't do something perfectly, and we've been talking a lot at home about there's no such thing as perfect, and it's not what you should be striving for, and doing your best is really important, and enjoying the process and having fun, and that's a big thing going on in our house. And I loved this movie, and I loved having them be able to watch it so I can not make it about them and point to the fact that there is no perfect, nobody's perfect, and you don't have to be. That's not the point of life. The point is to do your best and move forward and work with your friends and believe in yourself. That was a big one for me.
especially to the parents in the panel, and Ellen, I know you have kids, so maybe you can answer it too. What is it about the stories today, especially something like Finding Dory, that's so it's rich in character and complex that you think kids are relating to? I mean, the stuff we grew up with was great, but the characters were like one layer. So what do you think it is that kids are connecting to, and how needed is it today?
Like one aspect is, and I think Disney's done this forever, is that, and I should say Disney and Pixar, is that they're willing to go into, they go deep, no pun intended, but they're addressing stuff that I think kids have some awareness on some level, including loss. And my kids really want to talk about that stuff. They want to talk about it. They don't really want to avoid those subjects, even because it comes up. There's just no way to avoid it. And I think the way that Pixar does it, where the characters, nobody does story better than Pixar, obviously, but the characters are all well-intended. Every character, whether they may be screwing up, they're all essentially trying to do their best, which is, feels like, to me, that's, mimicking life, that's a world where that feels safe for them to kind of approach those topics. That's been my experience at home, not just with Finding Dory, but with a lot of Pixar films in particular, and old Disney films, that we get into real conversations afterwards, even at 4 and 6 years old.
All right, we have one more question. Sir?
Yeah. Alberto from Argentina. This question is for Ellen. This movie is about dealing with time, regrets, doing what we couldn't do in the past. So if you had the chance to go walking down the street and you found yourself being a little girl, 6-year-old girl, what could you tell her about your life? Not letting her know that you is herself a few years later. You know what I mean? It's like finding yourself. Okay.
So scary.
Okay.
No,
it's not scary. It's
no, don't listen to him. No, I understand what you're saying. You know, I think, as Albert was saying, as you get older, you get wiser, and you start looking at life in a completely different way. And I wish that, and you can tell a six-year-old whatever, but a six-year-old is going to go, uh-uh, you know, so you can try. But I would tell that six-year-old that life is a very interesting journey, and that it is filled with surprises, and sometimes they're good surprises and sometimes they're bad surprises, and they're all good, because even the bad ones get you ready for something else, and they build another part of you that you wouldn't have inside of you. And I think we're made up of all kinds of different things, and if we were just made up of joy and love and all good things and nothing bad happened to us, we'd just be a little less layered. So I would tell that six-year-old to just take everything in and just embrace the bad with the good and just keep swimming.
I that's a beautiful answer. I have a different thought. If in this day, if a strange man talks to a six-year-old, it only leads to trouble. I would have won.
It's a woman, not a man talking to the so it's not as scary.
Oh. Well, no, I ran into myself.
Oh, yes,
six-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah, I just being older, I thought.
On that note, the movie is Finding Dory. This cast did a tremendous job. Please give them a round of applause.
Thank you.